During the spookiest time of the year, there are a few guidelines all ghosts and goblins should follow. Always stay on sidewalks. Never go to a stranger's house. And never go out alone.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
All right, boys, goblins and ghouls! Goblins and ghouls!
Yeah! Happy Halloween from the Boogie Monster.
See, now I can't trick you because you see me.
I saw what you did there.
Reach over and press the start button.
Mm-hmm. You could still probably trick me, though.
No.
Like, hey, look over here.
No, it's going. Hey, Dave, look at that. Look at that beef jerky running away.
Just throw a Slim Jim on the floor.
Fetch. Dave plays fetch with preserved meats.
What's up, dude?
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. It's spooky.
Happy Halloween.
I'm already spooked.
Oh, what, yeah. Has anything spooked you out lately?
No, not really. Just I'm feeling the overall vibe of Halloween.
Yeah?
Feeling it.
And L.A. weather kicked in.
Yes.
1 week ago, it was 103 degrees.
Yep.
And now it's like in the 60s.
Yeah.
It's a little gloomy out.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like the supreme set dresser, God, wanted us to have a good Halloween in Los Angeles. God loves showbiz.
Uh huh.
If there's anything that's proven, it's God loves showbiz.
Sounds like a poster that the Westboro Baptist Church would have.
Yeah, God loves show business. It's good. I'm glad that it got all Halloween. I got back last night from doing a bunch of hallucinogens in the desert.
Yeah, dude.
Like a real stereotype.
How was that?
I forget how much I like mushrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, we both know. We've
mm-hmm.
been there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a theme with you around Halloween the last few years.
This one, then 2 years ago, we were out there.
Yeah.
Out in Joshua Tree. And we did them Friday. And I don't know if it was like less the next day because I did them Friday night and it was a real heavy head buzz.
Okay.
But I just wander out and lay. We were at a good remote house. Group of folks had a house out in the desert, mm-hmm. and I just wandered off and lay in the dirt and stared at the sky just waiting.
Well, that's what I remember about our last trip out there involving hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion. You know, for people who haven't done them, you know, you're supposed to do them with friends, do them with people you trust and feel comfortable around, but you're also supposed to just kind of keep tabs on one another, make sure everybody's doing well.
Yeah.
And so every now and then I would say, Kyle, you all right over there, buddy? And you're like, yeah, I'm just laying in the dirt.
I can't get enough of it.
One time you said, I'm just laying in the dirt. And then another time you said, I'm just trying to straight up get abducted.
Yeah, I just wanted people to find a burn circle mm-hmm. and flip-flops.
Yeah. So how did this trip compare, no pun intended, to the last one we did?
Well, I'll say that. I'm no psychonaut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hardly a tour guide into the other dimensions mm-hmm. through hallucinogens. But I will say, if you're gonna do them, go in. You gotta go in. You can't go in with baggage. You can't go in like with trepidation. Like, is it gonna be like this? That's no good. Go in like I'm about to have a great time,
mm-hmm.
and that's you got to go in with a good PMA, positive mental attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But so we took some Friday. It wasn't.
What time of day did you take?
Body buzzing. I took them in the evening Friday, and then daytime we all did them about 2 p.m.
I was about to ask, so you did more than one, you did some Friday and some Saturday?
Yeah.
Cool.
And you know what I realized? I don't want to do them during the day.
Yeah?
I'm a night rat.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as, I want to go and sneak around at night. I realize now, like, I should probably be afraid of snakes and scorpions and stuff, but I was just out there in my flip-flops all night, just plopping down in different parts of the dirt.
Nice.
In the desert. Yeah, I found some rocks to climb around.
Oh, cool.
I got a little realized, like, the next day, looking at all these boulders I was climbing on, like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that barefoot on drugs. But in the moment, you know, you got to go in the heat of the moment, as
Did you just take your initial dose, or did you pile on like we did when we were doing them?
Oh, yeah.
We just kept every few hours like, we're going to do some more.
Yeah, I think I hit maximum velocity.
Nice.
With them. So I was like putting more in there. I'm like, we're not – we can't throw any more coal in the engine. We're there. But, yeah.
Did you learn anything?
You know what? I didn't see any aliens. I didn't see any, dimensions up in the sky. But I addressed some personal issues.
Okay.
Some like, all right, things I was negative about or upset about, and realizing, oh, these are...
You come to terms with minorities.
Yeah, I finally accepted Mexicans.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It just took an ounce of mushrooms. I felt like, they're people too. Hey, something was going to rhyme and I wasn't going to do it. We'll just play the Monster Mash for the first 20 minutes of the podcast.
Oh,
I listened to it on mushrooms. It's a great song.
The Monster Mash?
Yeah, I've held that.
Did that?
Somebody had a tweet about like Monster Mash could be for any season, and it got like tens of thousands of retweets, and I was like, motherfucker, I've been saying that shit for years.
Is that on any of the specials?
Yeah.
Oh, which one? That's I liked his old stuff better.
I think it was on something.
That's. I remember the first time I saw you do that live, and I just thought that was.
A couple people called it out. I don't think the guy ripped me off, but I think a couple people were like, yeah, man, Cosmic.
Most of you are here for my TED Talk about how the Monster Mash is a great song regardless of season.
Regardless of season. Put it on. Go on. Throw it on in the summertime. It's a beach jam.
Oh, it is a fun tune. So what else going on, buddy? So, all right.
26 minutes, and I just gobbled it up.
Don't worry. It's a Halloween episode. We can do whatever we want. There's no rules.
You want to restart right now at the 26-minute mark, and maybe we'll just start here.
I don't care.
Down 26 minutes, and we'll see what happens. I'll think about it if we circle back to it.
So, okay.
It's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
It's the best holiday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the best. I love it.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
Oh, that I've worn?
One that you've worn. I'm always not creative, then I go out on Halloween. I'm like, oh, shit, I should have thought about this.
I've mentioned this before, but in recent years, I'm a huge fan, and I don't know what you call them, but any of those costumes where it looks like you're riding something like originally, the first time I ever saw it was from the original The Office, and I'm not a big Ricky Gervais fan, but I did like him in that show. But I forgot what they're doing, but he has some outfit where it looks like he's riding an ostrich.
Yeah.
So his real legs are in the ostrich legs, and then he's got these fake legs that are supposed to be his legs that are wrapped around the ostrich, and he's running around riding an ostrich. And that was one of the hardest times I've ever laughed. I thought I was going to pee myself.
I saw a woman who did that, but I don't know if she's Mexican or something, but she's like in a box that says deportation. And so it's her. It's like Donald Trump carrying the box.
That's funny.
It's her with her legs sticking out over the box.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, that optical illusion just crushes me. So I'm a big fan of that.
Do you like it when the little cats have the outfits on? So there's the arms and then their front legs are the legs of the costume.
Love it. The little pirate cat.
Oh, little, you bet. Animals in costume. The dog with the spider costume on it was scary.
Yes, love that.
I'm sure, that's a couple years old.
There's a new one of these type costumes that I've seen on Facebook and stuff recently where it looks like a little person, it looks like a dwarf, is carrying the real person on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. So just imagine a fake little person, and then like the fake legs of the wearer are around his shoulders, and he's like stumbling, and the person wearing it has to purposely like stumble around, oh god, that's so funny. Yeah, big fan. My own costumes. I told you about the time me and two of my buddies. Shout out to John New and Michael Williams, old Canton, Georgia buddies. The three of us went as the Beastie Boys during the Sabotage era.
That was a good one.
Yeah, we had an old
car and everything.
We had an old unmarked police car with the little magnet light on top, and we all dressed up just fake mustaches and aviator glasses, and it was good.
My sister's been reappropriating her own hair for costumes for a few years. She went as a Magnum PI. She's dressed like this is work.
What do you mean reappropriating?
She cuts off her own hair for the mustache and the chest hair.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah. I'm a little grossed out by it, but I'm also like, hell yeah, go for it. So she did that. One year she did Guy Fieri and made the goatee.
That's nice.
Of her own hair. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, but I also, like, when women are so precious about their hair, and my sister's like, I'll cut some of it off for a Halloween costume. I'm like, hell yeah.
Go good for her.
But yeah, she had the Hawaiian shirt, the Detroit Tigers cap, and a mustache and sunglasses.
That's nice.
Yeah, she knows. She gets into it. I always fail. I always love seeing it, but I always fail on having an event or something I should have my own costume for.
I'm also a big fan of any recreation of a horrible injury or wound. For example, a buddy of mine one time just had a hatchet in his head. He somehow fashioned a device where it was a real hatchet, but then he like glued a little headband thing on it, like like the Steve Martin arrow through the head trick, but like with a hatchet, and it looked good. And he's just walking around all night with this real giant hatchet sticking out of his head. I thought that was great.
I took a coat hanger and I like kind of wired it around my shoulder and had a pair of glasses on it out to my side. I went as the Invisible Man's best friend.
Nice.
Real basic ass homemade. I guess I saw a picture. I did see a picture online, which I was like, you don't want to give Gwyneth Paltrow much credit for stuff nowadays, but she just went as the head in the box from Seven. Whoa. So she just put a cardboard box around her head, and the person she went with was like in the jumpsuit.
That's funny.
Like, all right, you got it.
That's good.
You got it there. Here you go.
What was Halloween like for you as a child? Did you do a lot of trick-or-treating? Did you live in a neighborhood?
Did we talk about – I don't remember what we did for last year's Halloween.
I don't remember either.
I don't know if I – well, we probably got more listeners now.
Anyway. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
We got real racist Halloween costumes.
Oh.
Did we talk about that?
I do kind of remember that. Which ones did you wear that would be considered racist?
You didn't
do blackface, did you?
My sister got it though.
What did she do?
She didn't do it.
I mean, what'd she wear? Who'd she go?
Okay,
tell me.
I'm not trying to condemn my parents, but I know, like, all right, this is the big fault if it was a different time and this time. It was like they didn't know, right? They didn't know better. I grew up in white suburbia. It was not meant with any maliciousness or any anger, and it was from a lack of knowledge and common sense. But my sister went as a, oh God, just, I don't know, just a generic tribeswoman.
All right.
Did I talk about this?
I think so. A generic tribesman, like African tribe.
Yeah.
Like with the crazy paint.
Full blackface with a black leotard and a grass skirt and a wig with chicken bones tied into it. And I went as when you're my grandparents went to Egypt and brought back like traditional Egyptian garb, like a headdress and everything. And so I wore that like the... I basically look like what's his name from who played the Arab guy from Cannonball Run?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I can't remember his name, but like a super like Cannonball Run was like every racist all through it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was still a great movie for the time. But so I did that, and then the extra touch was instead of like the plastic pumpkin, I had an oil can to collect the candy. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, especially back then. All right, I am by no means defending blackface and things of that nature. But from a little child's point of view, and back then, in the 80s, like, how's that... One could argue that, like, no, we're celebrating these different cultures. Like, I know...
That's not what it was. It wasn't like it was from a worldly place. It was just...
But I don't know. I can't imagine your sister or your mom, too, being like, look how stupid this idiot tribesman looks.
It's a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it's like, exotic.
It was actually to try and get my mom out of any hot water here. It was actually done by her friend the year before. So she just took the costume idea for the next year. My sister didn't want to wear it.
Yeah.
Well, like, we were like little kids, like 6, 7 years old. We didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But it's just people didn't know.
Yeah.
People didn't know better. It wasn't from a malicious place.
Yeah. I mean, every year that happens on a celebrity level. Like, what, a couple of years ago, somebody dressed up as the girl from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, no. Yeah, to put on blackface as an adult now, you're a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's inexcusable now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just fucking white suburbia. Parents trying to outdo everybody else with creative costumes for their kids.
Did you do anything cool? Like, I mean, was it just a standard every year your dad would take you and your sister trick-or-treating, or was it a big group thing?
We were just in a suburb. You know, you just go run around with your friends, just either getting scared because you'd stay out too late. I remember my one friend, Clay, who was a real son of a bitch. We were like too old. Like when you're trick-or-treating with like one person has a mask or something, but nobody's really wearing costumes. And then we go to the one house and the woman's like, "It's late, and aren't you a little old for this?" And then just close the door on us. And my buddy Clay just goes, "Wrong answer, bitch," and just smashes everything on her porch.
Oh, wow.
"Wrong answer, bitch."
Oh, man.
Chucks everything. You know, just kids are assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, I did some asshole stuff as a teenager. As a young child, though, my favorite memory was a couple of years in a row. I lived in a big subdivision. Some people don't know what that word means out here.
Really?
Yeah. I've had to explain that to certain people. A neighborhood. A neighborhood where all the houses look the same. Yeah, they're all the same size.
A grouping of similar homes and cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, same lots, same size yards. Anyway, I lived in a big one of those, so there's tons of kids. I was lucky to grow up with just at least 20 idiot friends, you know, my whole, you know, childhood years. But a couple years, somebody's dad had like a gooseneck trailer, like a 30-foot trailer that you would like haul heavy equipment on, like you'd see in a big Chevy commercial, you know, the big dually Chevy pulling the gooseneck trailer with a Bobcat on top. Anyway, he converted that into some sort of a hayride trailer.
Okay, okay.
So he put up some side bodies so we would be contained and not just fall out.
Yeah.
He put up like a little fencing side body and then threw tons of like wheat straw and hay in there. And he would drive us around. There would be like 30 kids in the back of this trailer. And then like he'd drive us down one block and park and stop. And then we'd get out for like 10 minutes and hit that block.
You could cover. You could cover some.
And then he'd always say, I think he even had like a whistle or a air horn. But like we knew that, all right, we got like 10 minutes for this block. When the air horn goes off, we all got to run back to the trailer. And then we'd all hop in the back.
Like
and it's night.
Halloween
and it's,
death squad.
Oh, it was great.
Clearing out neighborhoods.
It was great. It was like Invasion USA. Just coming up from all angles. And I was probably like 7, 8, 9, and I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Like, I remember early haunted, like haunted houses being church basements and stuff where it was just like, all right, we don't know. Like, I remember like early haunted houses that was mostly somebody had scary makeup, but also it was just nails sticking out of stuff. Like, it wasn't like pouring, like, oh, I saw Dracula and I think I got tetanus. Like, it was always, I love like the janky ass church Halloween one, like especially when you're a little kid. Like, I'm not trying to lose my mind, but we're like, oh, the basement of the church at night.
Yeah.
And you're just with your friends from Sunday school, like, let's get fucking crazy. Like, jacked up on candy. Those were some of the most fun, or just going into like the woods at night and your parents just being like, yeah, it's Halloween. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And you could stay out late. It's Halloween. Like, we're staying out. It's still the best times. Mm-hmm. My one buddy who, my buddy's friend, we were all a group of friends. My sister and her friends and, like, everybody was friends. But my buddy Dom, who was my sister's age, one year, like, really went for it with, like, just dressing like a lady. And then some neighborhood kids, like, threw something at his car. So we got out to chase him. And then one of the neighborhood kids just jumped in his car and just put it in drive and just ghost rode it down the street. So my buddy's just chasing his car down the street in a dress.
Oh, my God.
And then he's all upset. Like, I got stuck in a rock, and he's real pissed. I think he's crying. His makeup was running because he's crying. Hey, one of those kids, though, wound up stabbing a girl a bunch of times in front of his house and had, like, a grave dug for her in the back.
Oh, jeez.
That wasn't on Halloween.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was an unseasonable-related crime. But, yeah, those were some fucking psychos. That was a subdivision.
Yeah.
Fucking lunatics over there. But yeah, I forgot about that part. It was the same kid that like stabbed his girlfriend a ton of times in front of her house. My buddy, we were all partying. My buddy Bob came home and couldn't get to his house. Bob was Dom's older brother.
Like, wow.
Because that was all the police tape on the blocks. Like, yeah, one of the fucking crazy kids.
Did he kill her?
No, she lived and made it down to a house, and they called the cops, and they went and arrested him and found like he had a grave dug out in the back.
Good God.
Yeah, man, suburbs.
Yeah, crazy shit in the suburbs.
Weirdos in them burbs.
Man. My first Halloween where in high school where like my buddies were driving, you know, like that was a game changer when you could go out with ninth, 10th grade when your buddy has a car.
Yeah.
And we got into some real mischief one year, me and my buddy Brian and a couple other dudes. He had an old Jeep Cherokee. We're driving this Jeep Cherokee around. And for some reason, we had on masks. And for some reason, we got a hold of some like fake guns. Like some fake machine guns, like water pistols or something, but they looked like I had like this Tech 9.
I forget what those were called. They were like battery operated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those.
And because we were 15, 16 and real stupid, we rolled up on one guy and just hung out the window and all pointed guns, fake guns at this dude. And this dude. That's in Georgia. And this dude wasn't having it. And he hopped in his truck. And he chased us around town for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're hauling ass, running red lights, screaming, oh my God, this guy's for real. He's pissed. And like dude chases for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we finally lost him. And like talk about – oh boy.
We had car chase periods where we were getting straight up car chases. Like that was a bored thing to do. A lot of it was like all the Italian kids were real aggro in my hometown. That was like another Halloween party that my friends would throw in a different subdivision. Because like subdivisions were basically neighborhoods of the suburbs.
Uh-huh.
And this one had a little clubhouse. So if you live in a subdivision, you could rent the clubhouse. Like they had a Halloween party. And my friend Paula and her family would do a big Halloween party. It was mostly Italian kids that go in there. And then me and like the white trash kids were still friends with everybody. So we'd go there. And my buddy Brian, who's Filipino, straight up unmistakably Filipino, showed up to the Italian Halloween party dressed as an Italian with a leather bomber jacket and like the sandwich, like the fucking Joey sandwich hats and a t-shirt that said, not only am I Italian, but I'm also perfect. Or whatever the phrase was. Not only am I perfect, but in a baseball bat, just walks in like, hey, grabbing his nuts, like, what are you fucking looking at? Look at this fucking thing. You know? That's hilarious. Get the fuck out of here. They're going to kill you.
Oh, but man.
We're all like, best Halloween costume, Brian. Go home and change.
Wow. That's a ballsy move.
It was. We're like, and he's walking in real proud of himself. We're like, it's great. You got to go. You got to go right now.
Wow.
It was hilarious. But the t-shirt, not only perfect, but I'm also Italian. Because they all wore that shoot or that kind of shit around. And and those guys, so those are the guys that would like wind up chasing us in their cars and their fucking Camaros.
Yeah, I ran from the cops in my parents' car one time.
Really?
16, I lost them.
Really?
Yep. I was up our high school. I may have told this story before. Our high school was above a city park, and so like there was a soccer field. And the soccer field was kind of up on – it was built up like kind of like a mound, you know, so it was like raised. So my parents also Jeep Cherokee, and me and my buddy are out tooling around one night. It's like 10, 11 o'clock, and just for – you know, because we're 16 and stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's get up on the soccer field, do donuts. And I was like, hell yeah, dude, great idea. And I get up there and just raising hell, just tearing up sod, just an asshole. But, you know, you don't think about that when you're 16 and stupid. And up there for probably 30, 45 seconds, you know, just raising hell. Get back down off the soccer field, start to pull off into the park. And about 100 yards behind me, it was a real kind of spread out park, like with huge parking lots and stuff, kind of open. And about 100 yards behind me, I see blue lights.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. And I just didn't even think. I just panicked. I gunned it. Hauled ass through the park. This dude's chasing me. He'd never closer than like a couple hundred yards. Like it was pretty good distance behind me, but you could see him giving chase. You could see the blue lights.
Yeah, that Jeep Cherokee, man. And then off, put it in four-wheel drive.
Raising hell through the park, you know, and then it kind of like snakes around. We're bobbing and weaving. Get up on the main road, haul ass for about a mile. dip off into a side street, dip off into somebody's driveway, kill the lights, and then we see him go driving by, just sat there frozen for like 30 minutes.
Did your parents know that you fucked up their car?
Nope. I didn't. I don't think I messed up the car other than, you know, just slinging mud all over the place. No. But, yeah, ran from the popo. Kiss my ass, copper.
Oh, they just shoot you now.
Yeah, yeah.
They just shoot you right in the car.
Bad boy. Speaking of mudding and Jeeps and shit, we didn't talk about your Moab trip.
Oh, but I've been out there.
Just all over the place in the desert.
Yeah, I was out in Moab.
What'd you do?
2 weekends ago.
What'd you get into over there?
Just drove. It's the same part where Thelma and Louise drove off the cliff. Sorry to spoiler alert. Thelma and Louise drove off the cliff.
That's beautiful out there. I've been out there. Moab, Utah?
Yeah. It's
those arches and stuff?
Yeah, it was right. Moab is, I forget which direction, but right next to Arches National Park. So we drove through Arches. And it's, I mean, outside of even any sort of mystical kind of belief you want to have, it's just an awe-inspiring location.
It's crazy.
It's to sit there and you can, at one part of the trail, driving around, like, oh, stop, here's dinosaur tracks. And you could just see in the rocks where
really
they could figure out what kind of, like, three-toed dinosaur had walked through the rocks, and it was mud, and then it petrified. And it's like, and you're just looking at it going, I forget the thousands, millions of years ago, that some giant lizard walked through here.
Wow.
What did this look like at that point? Were these even arches? Was there concrete under the rock that completed the arch? And it goes back to whenever America's a fucked up place, mm-hmm. like, geographically.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I repeat myself on that many times, but I will with the mindset just to urge people, like, go.
Yeah.
Take a little road trip. Look up a national park that's nearby you. That's a day's drive away. Get a cheap tent or something. Just get out. Just get out in the world. Stop looking at phones, doing all that kind of stuff. Go out in the world. Look at some amazing, natural, beautiful things that are in this country and get away. Stop polluting yourself with what's online.
I've always been fascinated by some of the natural geography just because, like, for example, a place like Moab, you know, we're so industrialized now. Mm-hmm. We're so modernized, especially if you live in a city like we do. You can't help but kind of get trapped into a bubble. But like going out to somewhere like Moab, I love – and even around here in the mountains of like Griffith Park, sometimes when I'm hiking, I'll just stop and I'll look. And because there's a complete absence of buildings and roads and power lines, like it's fun to just stop and go, oh, with the exception of like maybe that mountain's a little bigger now, I bet my point of view right now looks exactly the way it did 500,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Moab where there's no building. There's no evidence of modern civilization.
Yeah.
Just nothing but dirt and rocks and mountains and like, oh, this has not changed in millions of years.
Yeah. Or the concept that it's a river that, you know, a small trickle
mm-hmm.
cut the Grand Canyon
yeah.
of the earth.
It's insane.
I'll sit down and listen to my faucet drip at night and go like, well, forgive it time. Forgive that drip. If I don't call a plumber, if I don't call a landlord about that drip, we got pretty good canyon views, pretty good real estate here in a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool, buddy. So you had a good time? Did you get the Jeep into any predicaments?
Now, we banged it around pretty good. I went around a thing called Chicken Corner, which is basically just the one-lane width, and then it's about 500-foot drop to the Colorado River. On one side, and then a wall on the other. So,
is that the video?
Yeah.
That video was intense.
It was, yeah.
You're like, and like you're right there on the ledge.
And it's one of those things where it's scary. It's scary going one way because you're on the driver's side of the vehicle, so you can't see where the right side of your car is, and that's the cliff. So you're just trying to hug this wall that's next to you. It's almost safer when you're going the other way because at least when you're on the driver's side, you can see the cliff's edge. But then you're also looking out your window and going like, oh, 10 inches more to the left is a however many, 50-story drop to the Colorado River. But at least I can see it. Whereas when you're driving the other way, like, oh, the passenger – I can't see the passenger side.
Yeah.
I can't see that tire. I really hope it's on ground the whole time.
That's scary.
Yeah, man. And it, but mostly it was just get out in the middle of nowhere. I did not, to bring it back to the theme of the Boogie Monster, but it's Boogie Monster. With
Kyle. Oh, yeah, it's the Boogie Monster.
By the way.
I'm Dave.
That's Dave and Kyle. It's Boogie Monster. We've been, we're going to cut out that whole first part.
Okay.
We don't have to talk about it. We're going to talk about fun Halloween stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Halloween, man. Fuck, it's the best.
Anyway, it is the best.
It's the best. And, so, and you know, no, nothing spooky or scary. Just, it was actually just very peaceful. Just great. And just sitting out there at night looking at shooting stars.
Nice.
And, nothing, nothing too cosmic.
No, no skinwalkers?
No, man, I didn't, I got more creeped out. So, the, like, the last Friday night and Saturday night on mushrooms in Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, not like a patting myself on the back, but pretty, like, more curious about, let me just walk out into the desert. Let me get away from the riffraff of the party house. Mm-hmm. Everybody's giggling and screwing around. And I was just on, I was on a good vibe of just exploration and being in the desert. I wasn't scared of this and that. But then yesterday, I didn't do any. We're packing up to leave. And that's when I'm like, just even just walking to the car at night, like, what was that? What's in the shadows there? And realizing how isolated you are. And I started thinking more about those realities. Like, what if somebody just wanted to come up to the house and be a fucking creep in the middle of the desert and methed out weirdos in the middle of nowhere type thing?
That's why, that I don't know, that's the appeal but, to the middle of nowhere.
I didn't have that feeling when I was on the drugs.
speaking of creeped out.
Speaking of witches.
Speaking of witches. I went and purposely got creeped out the other day. Over here, and I've been before, and I've talked about it before, but the Colorado Street Bridge in Pasadena, mm-hmm. also known as the Suicide Bridge.
The Suey Bridge.
I've been down there before, and it was – and again, and I said this before, but, like, I don't know – like, I went for the purpose of, hey, maybe I'll get spooked.
Catch a case of the willies.
Yeah. So knowing that, like, all right, that's why I drove all the way out here, but the first time, like, it was creepy.
Yeah,
and this time me and my lady went. I brought my lady for backup, mm-hmm. and and we got out and really explored a little bit. And this was about 10 p.m. This okay. was about a week ago, and we went and got out on foot. And at 10 p.m. that part of town on like a Monday or Tuesday is not a lot of traffic. And we got out on foot. Spent about 30 minutes wandering around under this bridge, and apparently they say. Several people. I think the bridge is over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Several people apparently have committed suicide by jumping off of said bridge. And both up on the bridge and below on the ground, people have seen ghosts wandering yeah. around. And man, it was creepy. And again, could be the placebo effect, but like I heard some footsteps.
Yeah.
Heard some footsteps crunching around. Could have been a raccoon. Could have been anything. But like it was fun.
I told you about when we went there, and we were just walking around the Arroyo. I think it was Arroyo Seco.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Rachel, who's not into this shit. I was like, "What the fuck was that guy with the bike?" And we're like, "What?" We're all walking along a road. She's like, "The guy that just rode by on the bike, like almost hit me." And we're like, nobody rode by.
I don't remember you telling me this.
Nobody rode by on a bike. But everybody was, again, it's a heightened sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to the right and all of a sudden something in your peripheral on the left, something happens. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, guy just went by on a bike real quick. Was it a bird that was big enough to cover your peripheral view to make it feel like it was a whole being there? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it was some creepy stuff. And then Tegan and I, my sister, Magnum P.I., we went down to the Devil's Gate, which is just the open tunnel.
Yeah.
That one that I don't think it's supposed to be open, but it was the gates were open when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, I did the Integratron while I was in Joshua Tree. Oh, shit.
Tell us about that.
Speaking about like hearing echoes and stuff like that, it's a wooden dome where apparently the guy who built the Integratron, he said aliens came to him. He was a retired aerospace engineer. Aliens came to him and basically downloaded the plans for this Integratron into his brain. So he built it in the 60s, It's an all-wood building.
And this is where?
It's in Joshua Tree.
Okay.
And the big rock where apparently it happened was like a few miles down the road in the desert. So we went out and saw that. And it was just a bunch of hillbillies with their 4x4s and there's graffiti everywhere. So clearly the aliens, that's where they came to tell this guy how to save the human race. And then we just shit all over the place where it happened. So we're fucked. Either way, to the aliens. They're like, oh, here, this is a sacred place where we told this guy how to build a thing to communicate and spread peace. And people just, like, spray paint, like, oh, fucking Daryl sucks cock and stumbling. All right. There's a bunch of fucking beer cans everywhere. But it's – so you go in this building, go upstairs, and you lay down. It's a sound bath. And now initially this whole Integratron, watching the video, they had a Huell Hauser video playing in the little gift shop.
This is amazing.
It really was. Now, what kind of wood is this? Now, all right, we're going to go up these stairs.
How about that?
Look at that. Huell Hauser.
Rest in peace.
Gold, yeah. Just warms your heart just to see a grown man truly curious about the world around him.
Yeah.
As we all should be more.
Mm-hmm.
More curious.
Today we're going to visit a baked bean factory.
Look at that. Now these beans, they don't start baked.
They're called baked, but really they're roasted.
Oh, because a Domian does a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we doing? Let a Domian have it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so this whole machine, there's a ring around it that's supposed to spin, and it's supposed to basically create its own lightning and electrical energy, mm-hmm. but everything's broken on it. So it's just a wood dome that you go up and you lay on these mats. And a guy plays these crystal sound bowls, which these are pretty wild. They're quartz bowls of different intonations, and you roll a stick around the outside of it, and they get just intensely loud at different frequencies and just like buzzing in your head and your bones. And it's a wild thing, but I didn't feel any. I just felt like I was listening to cool sounds laying down.
It's like
hippie. Hippie dome.
Like when one of those street musicians fashions some sort of organ out of PVC pipe and he plays it with his flip-flops.
Yeah, it's got a real Blue Man Group type of
thing.
Yeah,
I like that shit.
The fanfare.
Yeah, I like that.
Playing a pipe organ with his flip-flops?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You seen that down at the camp?
Yeah, just some of my people.
Yeah, what was that, Van Jam? Van Jam 2015, you caught that guy?
It's Opossum Charlie in his PVC.
He's touring with Dave Matthews now. He's doing good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool, buddy. Man, switching topics real quick. I'm
got to get scared, man.
We'll get into scary in a minute. I am deep into World Series fever.
Ooh, I know, scary World
Series. I know you're not much of a baseball fan, but we're recording this Monday before you guys are hearing it, so it's somewhat topical. But Sunday's Game 5, not just the best World Series game possibly ever, maybe the best baseball game
just
ever.
A well-played game of ball.
Just, it was like, if you wrote this like as like a Disney movie about a baseball team, like the notes would be, this is unrealistic. You know, clean this up. This would never happen. It's the equivalent of watching a Rocky movie is what happened.
Really?
Yeah. Like when you watch a Rocky movie, they're great. They're entertaining. But like anybody who knows anything about boxing, it's like, oh, both these guys would be dead in the second round if they took these type of punches to the head. This is the baseball version of that. It was just absolutely.
They're supposed to all be dead?
They're supposed to all be dead. It was just back and forth. So many lead changes. 13-12 in the 10th inning. The Astros finally won. Astros. But just give you a quick rundown of the box score. The first inning, Dodgers go up 3 runs in the first. They're up 3-0. Then in the fourth inning, they tack on another run. They're up 4-0. At the bottom of the fourth, Astros come back, boom, 4 runs. They tie it up. Then in the fifth inning, Dodgers score 3 more runs. These are all most of these are off of home runs too, by the way.
Yeah.
So they go up 7-4. All right. Bottom of the fifth, Houston comes back, boom, they score 3 more runs, tie it up. Then in the seventh, Dodgers go ahead. Bottom of the seventh, Astros score 4 more runs. They go up. Eighth inning, both teams hit a home run. Ninth inning, Astros are up by 3 runs. Top of the ninth, 3 outs to go before the game's over. Dodgers come out, boom, they score 3 runs, put it into extra innings, and then eventually in the bottom of the 10th, the Astros scored the 13th and winning run. 13-12, 10 innings, just most of them home runs, just action-packed, insane. Like, baseball fans are losing their mind as far as, like, this just doesn't happen.
I saw people chattering about it a lot on the internet.
I mean,
the Astros up 3-2.
Astros are up 3-2.
They win tomorrow. Are they here in LA?
They're coming back to LA, playing Tuesday and Wednesday, or tonight, as people are hearing this. So Dodgers got to win both games. So they got to win tonight. They got to win Tuesday night to force a game 7. And yeah, and then Wednesday, if they win, they'll be a game 7. So yeah, got to win 2 games.
Hot dog.
Yeah. So just unreal. Just so any baseball fans, good Lord. We're really quite a treat to witness all this.
Well, let's.
Did you want to get into some spooky shit?
I want to get scared.
You want to get scared, Kyle?
I want to get scared.
What scares you, Kyle?
Most everything. Like, I felt bad when I was driving out of the desert. I was so proud of my being bold and rock climbing with no shoes on and fearless on mushrooms, and then just drive, and I saw like a reflection of my own car and a sign, and I was like, thought there was a goblin following my car when I was leaving the desert. I can at times be very jumpy, a real jumpy spaz.
Yeah,
but I would rather it be goblins to scare me than just like shitty creeps, like murderers and stuff.
So you'd rather be spooked by goblins than actual real...
Yeah, supernatural stuff.
Gotcha.
I want like a home invasion scare.
See,
I want a haunted scare.
I get what you're saying, because I'm not afraid of... Bring it on.
No.
Invade my home. Go for it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't scare me.
You're Street Justice Dave.
Yeah, I got something for you.
Well, I'm not scared of it now. Like, oh, what if it happened? But I mean, if in the middle of the night I'd heard somebody like breaking into my house, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I don't like this.
Oh man, I just get.
But about I don't sit around worrying about it.
Yeah,
all the time.
No, that sounds fun to me.
You want to dress up like an old lady with a purse with a bunch of money in it just to fucking murder somebody.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you. Like the supernatural. That's
Halloween,
what's because you can't.
I want a good Halloween scare.
Yeah, oh man, it's
I mean, you got some stories on.
Okay, we can get into it real quick.
It's Halloween. It's the night that ghouls and goblins roam the land.
I gotta. All right.
I'm gonna put the lights down.
Yeah, bring the lights down.
Come on, start firing.
You ever heard of the Tri-State Crematory? I don't know if this is a regional thing because it happened where I'm from.
Tri-State Creamery? Where's that?
they make the ice cream
the
right
Wrestler's
there.
Wrestler's Crematorium.
on the marble slab. The
31.
The Tri-State Crematory. It's a crematory, as you may or may not know. It
sounds like a Dairy Queen.
It does. It does, but it's not.
I thought it was crematorium.
I think it's crematory. I think it's both. I don't know. Internet says crematory. It's where you
Internet says crematory. It's where you cook them up.
It's where you cook them up. It's where you burn them bodies. It's where you get cremated.
Yeah.
By the way, you want to get cremated or buried?
Take whatever you can out of me that's useful,
mm-hmm.
and then burn it up. I don't need to take any real estate.
I want to get stuffed and mounted.
That's a lot of stuff. Mounted in your van. Permanent fixture.
Oh man,
that was the joke. I keep reading more stuff about what happens when you're cremated, or like when you donate your body to science, and everybody thinks it's like, oh, it's gonna be, oh, a child's gonna get my lungs or something. You just might be the equivalent of a frog for a science class. Like somebody might just. I read this book, it's called When Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, and it's a woman who apprenticed and worked in a mausoleum, like a funeral home crematory, and all her experiences and about how stuff like we'll just get a van full of heads because they use the bodies, the people that donate their bodies, and they just get a van full of heads they got to burn.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I was trying to make a joke about it, too. It's like, hey, you can donate your body to science, but you don't know what kind of science.
Yeah.
Like, what if it's just sports medicine, and they just prop your body up and test the strength of one of those tennis ball shooters? to see if it like they just hang you up in a batting cage to just tune up to tune. That's how they tune the safety settings in the batting cage to make sure they don't get sued by some kid's friend. Your batting cage crushed my kid's skull, so they just hang dead bodies up at the end.
Well, according to test subject number 3, that 60 miles an hour is not supposed to crack
impossible.
A human skull.
I mean, he's real mushy. And it still didn't crack anything. I mean, it scraped his nose right off, but that's just a rigor mortis. That's a fleshy part. That's going to fall off anyway.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah, crematories.
Tri-State Crematory in Noble, Georgia, Walker County, Georgia. That is about just 60 miles northwest of where I grew up in Waleska, Georgia. Kind of maybe about 25 miles southwest of Chattanooga. So kind of up in northwest Georgia, mm-hmm. Tri-State, meaning it's obviously in Georgia. It's very close to Tennessee, very close to Alabama. All right. There's this dude, Tommy Marsh. His fella, he owned and operated the crematory for years in Noble, Georgia. Now, in the South, back in those days...
Who starts a crematory?
Exactly. The whole funeral industry and death industry in general is interesting because it's obviously macabre and morbid, but it's like it's a business.
But it's also like...
It's a business.
You're guaranteed clientele.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like nobody's going to not die.
People are just dying to get in.
But also, like, how bad do you have to be where somebody's like, you know what? I'm opening up. Fucking Tommy Marsh is opening up his own business because, you know what? The fucking Smith brothers over here, they've had a monopoly for too long.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the point,
Tommy,
I think.
Tommy and his flashy new crematory across town.
Well, for many years, up until recently, it was kind of frowned upon in the South and in the Christian culture to be cremated. There's some interpretation, some texts and scripts in the Bible that it's sacrilegious to do some. So there... That wasn't really an option for many years in certain parts, especially in the rural South and the Bible Belt.
I feel like that was always looked at as kind of strange where I was from, too. They're mm-hmm. like, it wasn't something you'd do.
Yeah.
I also think you should just make golf courses graveyards also.
That's true, too.
The 17th hole, and then here's a plaque with everybody buried on that mm-hmm. one. Because it's just it's unnecessary use of real estate.
Absolutely. So Tommy Marsh, he opened up this thing years and years ago. And business was booming because there wasn't – you know, he was getting bodies shipped in from all over the place because there just wasn't many crematories.
Tri-state area.
Yeah, back then. So he was getting on up in age. He was getting kind of ill. And his son, Ray Brent Marsh, who at the time, back in, let's say 96, he was a football player, played at UT Chattanooga, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, football star, playing football. Dad's health is failing, so Ray Brent Marsh, his son, leaves college, comes back home to Noble, Georgia to kind of assist and take over the family business. All right, here's where it gets good. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Give you a brief little timeline. October 2000, a gas man claims he first saw bodies scattered around the crematory. Walker County Sheriff's Office decides the complaint is a regulatory issue, not a criminal issue. Nothing is done. Okay. Walker County Sheriff's Office. If someone calls and says, hey, there's a bunch of bodies scattered around this property, you might want to at least go take a peek at that.
But if it's the property is where the bodies are sent to anyway.
But still, bodies scattered around, I think you should at least check into it. They do nothing. All right. November 2001, Environmental Protection Agency in Atlanta, they receive an anonymous tip that there are also bodies and body parts in the woods surrounding the Tri-State Crematory. Walker County Sheriff's Office, this time, they do a routine check. They don't check too hard. They find nothing. All right. February 14, 2002, federal agents receive another anonymous tip that someone walking a dog in the woods behind the crematory discovered a human bone. And that gets people kind of jazzed up. All right. The next day, authorities go out there. They find 49 uncremated bodies scattered in buildings all around the Marsh property. So they go out there. This dude's operating a crematory, but he's not cremating everybody.
What's he avoiding? Like, I think it'd be harder to drag bodies out to the woods than just pop them in the oven.
Absolutely. You would think.
Like a gas bill or something?
Yeah, well, it was speculated that maybe there was something wrong with the equipment. Let's see here.
They're only getting a medium rare, and then the thing just craps out on me. They're just getting crisp.
So they go out there. They find those 49 uncremated bodies. They talk to old Ray Brent Marsh. He doesn't really have an explanation as to why. Now, these bodies, they think – now, these are just the initial 49. I'll go ahead and jump ahead. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they found 339 uncremated bodies on this 11-acre property. 11 acres is a good chunk of land, but it's not like it's a state park. I mean, that's a
I can't even right now visualize what an acre is.
An acre, I would say probably – yeah.
Type it into the machine there. Let's both
– I would say a football field is about 2 acres.
Okay.
Yeah, so if that gives you an idea. I would say a football field is about 2 acres. Okay. So he probably had about 5.5 football fields there.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's all relative. You know, around here, that's a huge piece of land. In the middle of Montana, it's
country property. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, he's got bodies. When they went and found all these damn bodies, they had some that were fresh that died a week or two earlier, and some that they think had been decomposing and sitting around for 10, 20 years.
Well, what's he giving the people? Like, are these bodies like prisoners unclaimed? Like,
nope.
Homeless people?
No.
Is he just giving them like
– He's giving them urns full of cement dust. Here you go, Mr. and Mrs. Kinane. We're sorry Kyle got eaten by a mountain lion. Here's his ashes in an urn. It's cement dust.
Well, now that story, did they cremate the mountain lion while he was still inside of it?
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, there's a lot of holes in
that. Yeah, that's true. That's just
I heard that when you give somebody the ashes, it's not even like there's still bits of other people in there. Like, it's not like they clean out the whole oven each time. It's just like they just sweep out what's in there.
Well, of course.
This one's Jeff. All right, here's a bucket of Jeff.
And a little bit of Brian.
And whoever else came first, yeah.
But they found in various stages of decomposition, some of them were in coffins. He had coffins just stacked up in the shed. He had they found one body decomposing just sitting in a car, in an abandoned, broken-down car in the back. Just there's a body just decomposing. He's
still going out and buying cement mix to fill up urns.
Yeah.
This seems like a real Wile E. Coyote putting in more effort than you need to get a result.
Well, and this guy never spoke much. You know, he never really told, you know, what his motive was. And they think, obviously, okay, well, they were like, well, was something wrong with your incinerator?
Totally not an edit. Because Dave's computer died. Edit that out. Now you go ahead and edit that out.
So anyway, where were we? All right,
they were asking if the incinerator
had
been failing,
and
he's backing up on his homework.
And he had some other employees there that I guess worked, and they said, "Yeah, it's got some issues, the incinerator, but it still technically works." So,
wait, there's other employees? They're all like, "Oh boy, we got work, piling up."
I don't know how he hid that from
paperwork.
And like his dad and his mom and his sister, they all helped out with the family business.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, did they – how do you not notice that your backyard is starting to stink with 300 dead bodies?
I don't know. We had a dead rabbit in our window well once, and there was a whole house putrid.
So they said at some point after he took over the business, he had some issues, obviously, with performing these cremations. And they don't know if it was exactly the equipment, or they think it might have been like a passive-aggressive thing. Like, you know, he had to quit college.
Wait, what?
Meaning like he didn't want to do the job. He moved back to help his family, but he's like, fuck, all right, I'll come back, but I'm not going to burn the bodies.
Do it. Just do the enough amount that you don't get fired.
They say out of nearly the 2,000 bodies that were received by Marsh, 339 went uncremated. So he did burn 1,600 and change of these bodies. So he did kind of do his job for the most part.
C minus.
Yeah. Families of the deceased, they were, like we said, given concrete dust.
80%.
In response to Marsh's claim that the cremation oven was broken, the oven was tested, found to be in working order, although subsequent examinations by experts, they found fault. So, yeah, it wasn't employees. He didn't have a crew of people. There's like, you shut up.
I was like, hey, boss.
man, my boss is weird.
How much you want?
No, I'm sorry. They brought in some, like, some experts on this particular oven, and they were like, oh, it's faulty, but it technically works. They had several crematory operators at the time commented that even if the machine had been broken down, proper maintenance would have kept it working. Noted that most oven manufacturers have regular maintenance programs, and he just let it go to kaput. And he's just like, all right, well, what do I do with these damn bodies? And
nothing.
Just could you imagine? Like, think about that. Like, that is straight out of like a Stephen King novel. Like. How creepy is one random rogue dead body? That's so creepy. You know, well, a dead body out of place is creepy. Like, you know.
Yeah, maybe one's weird, but I got so many, you just get used to it.
339.
He's a hoarder.
How bad did that place smell?
Corpse hoarder. Somebody use that as a band name. Corpse hoarder.
It probably already is.
Would you eat something cooked in a cremation oven?
I mean, no. I mean, if I had to. Like, well, what is it?
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay,
what would you eat? Okay, somebody's like, best ribs ever.
I mean, yeah.
What would you make in a cremation oven?
I mean,
It's really more of a broiler.
Yeah, you're not. It's not low and slow.
You got flames on the top.
Yeah, it's not low and slow. It's a, you know, maybe a broil a nice ribeye in there for, you know, 60 seconds on each side. Flip it and boom. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to play along. It's not like I would, you know.
Well, I'm just wondering if anybody's like that's like the bat, like the hack. Scene in a movie is they always have the coroner eating something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this guy just doesn't care. I mean, they never saw somebody in a crematory, like, taking a pot pie out. Slow day.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Or having one of them big pizza spatulas.
Yeah, I was thinking about a pizza. It's perfect for a pizza. Yeah, business is slow. He's done all his weekly cleaning.
It's scrubbed out.
Yeah.
Oh, tooth on my slice. Somebody trying to take a bite of this piece beyond the grave.
There's one.
Furthermore, I wonder if there's a story of anybody trying to get rid of a body in a pizza oven.
Mm.
Especially one of them twirling ones. Did I ever tell you about the pizza place I worked at that had like, you know, there's like the brick oven ones where it goes in, it just sits there, mm-hmm. and you take it out. But in some of the pizza places, it like goes on a shelf and then it twirls through the oven.
Yeah.
And the place I worked at was broken. So it was like a Ferris wheel that wouldn't stop. So it was just constant. And I didn't even make the pizzas. But we'd be slammed. And my boss, you'd see him like try and catch it like when it's coming around, catching the shelf and get it half on. Half
That's
the pizza
funny.
Just falls off. Just like, God damn it. Just, or you'd miss it and then it'd just be like, well, fuck, because then it would just burn. Because it'd be going through, like, if you missed the passenger.
Oh, man.
Just get it fixed.
How many pizzas would fit into that thing?
I think you get, like, two on a shelf. I don't want to say maybe it had, I don't know, six shelves. Six shelves rotating around.
Nice.
And but I don't know how many rotations it took.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just never stopped. So it was this constant, like, well, it's coming. Or if you missed it, you miscounted.
Mm.
Which did happen to me on a ride called the Zipper,
mm-hmm.
where they miscounted how many times we'd gone around on the ride, and I went on a bunch of times and barfed all over.
Oh, man.
Yeah. My friend Joe's mom drove us home, and I don't think she liked me, and she hit all these bumps, and I barfed when I got home.
I'm not a fan of roller coasters for that exact reason. I enjoy the thrills, but my stomach, man. I've barfed on a roller coaster.
Yeah, but I went in again the next summer and still and barfed again.
Mm.
Barfed again, then got a girl's phone number.
Hmm.
In eighth grade.
Did I tell you about the time I barfed on a plane pilot's feet? A plane pilot?
On the plane?
Long story short, 1997, I was the game day traffic reporter for the Georgia Bulldogs home games, WPUP in Athens, Georgia. And I went up 2 hours before the game and 2 hours after the game. Okay. Dangerous Dave with your game day traffic. And I'd have to go up, and I'd ride around. It was just a little two-seater plane.
Oh, and was it the hot lady pilot?
It was the hot lady pilot. Real cute. I was 19. She was probably 25. Real cute. And we hit it off. Like, you know, I was like, all right, we're going to be up here for 2 hours together. And like every 15 minutes, they'd kick it to me, and I'd do a live, just on a cell phone, just a live. Hey, game day traffic. Hey, it's Dangerous Dave. Stay away from Millage. The 10's looking good. All right, go Dogs. And about 30 minutes into it, man, it's hot. It's like August, September, and
just
bounced around. Had a bunch of onion rings in my belly, and sure enough, all like violent, like projectile all over her shins and knees and shoes. And she was pissed. And there was no, let's go land the plane. I had another hour to do. So we continued to fly around.
Sat up there stewing in it?
Sat up there smelling my barf on her legs for another hour.
What conversation was that like?
I don't remember, but it wasn't a lot of conversation after that.
Getting the phone number after
that. Nope, good times. So anyway, speaking of barf, all these bodies... Oh, he's just.
It does come back around pretty well.
Just gross, decomposing bodies, just hanging out. One of the theories is there. Everybody has wanted to know, like, hey, Ray, what the fuck, dude? And I don't know if. I don't think he came up with this theory, but I think maybe his attorney. Oh, man, I had his attorney's name written down somewhere. Listen to this name.
He's going to be a good lawyer to get you out of this.
The guy's name is McCracken Poston. His first name is McCracken.
Whoa.
McCracken. Come on.
You go into law and you don't legally change your name?
McCracken Poston is his attorney. He speculated, hey, if the oven was not functioning properly, what else was not functioning properly in that crematory? Maybe the ventilation system wasn't up to snuff, and maybe he got mercury poisoning from sitting around burning all these bodies. When you burn a body, there's mercury in the fillings and in most people's teeth, and that could create mercury poisoning for anybody in the vicinity if it's not ventilated. Yeah, that's one theory, that maybe he got mercury poisoning from inhaling.
How much?
And I'm the same way. Like, I don't have any ventilation in the van. I'm just getting brain damage from toenail dust and carpet fibers.
You can open a window, Dave. You're just fucking nutty because you're fucking nutty.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury poison.
So, yeah.
Well, how much mercury do you have to... How can you get poison if it's already in your teeth?
I think when you burn it, some fume.
That was... am I spoiling S-Town for people? S-Town's been out
for... Yeah, it's been out for a while. I don't remember the mercury angle there.
Wasn't the whole thing the guy was working with chemicals?
Right.
He went nutty.
The clockmaker.
Yeah, because it was like that gold process of like creating gold from mm-hmm. something else.
Yeah,
and it was akin to mercury poisoning. You go nutty.
So anyway, old dude, the shit hits the fan. This is a huge story in Georgia back in 2002. He got convicted. And he spent 12 years in prison, in state prison in Bibb County, Georgia. Just got out last year.
Sir. What's the charge?
That's a great question. That was kind of one of the centerpieces of the trial, is they were just like, well, what are we charging with?
I mean, it's not illegal to be bad at your job.
Yeah, he was arrested on over 300 criminal violations, ultimately charged by the state of Georgia with 787 counts, including theft by deception, abusing a corpse, burial service-related fraud, and giving false statements. At the time, it wasn't a crime to just, you know, what he – like just – throwing bodies in the corner in the context of a crematory or funeral home, something of that nature, yeah. Technically wasn't a crime.
Could have just been like, I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
His fine print. I didn't give you a time frame on when it was going to get done.
Oh, man. Criminal case against Marsh was settled after the Georgia Supreme Court had certified for review the defense question of whether a human corpse had any here's a word I can't pronounce. Pecuniary value? Pecuniary?
Spell it, because I can't even...
Pecuniary. Pecuniary? Anyway.
Pecuniary?
We'll know if the human corpse is worth the shit. And that was an issue vital to the case in order to determine if the thefts could be criminally prosecuted. So they, at first, because it was one of those things, just didn't have a... wasn't a lot of protocol. You know, there wasn't a lot of precedent for something like this.
Especially if nobody's getting cremated either, you know.
So Marsh eventually pled guilty. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison, and he was released June 29th of 16. So dude is just back, and oops, sorry about that.
Is that funeral home still there?
No, I think it's all shut down. And but, like, he was getting death threats. Like, people were pissed. And
religious folks probably get upset. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, all right, devil's advocate right now. Like, mm-hmm. But that's all a mausoleum is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just shove them in a wall.
Yeah.
But I guess you promise people a thing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the old Cri-State Crematorium.
Cri-State Crematorium.
Yeah. You want another real quick creepy story? Kind of,
yeah. I'm into it,
in the same vein.
Got the lights dim.
I didn't research this one too thoroughly.
No, we didn't research.
But I'll give you the bullet points. You've been to Denver many a times.
I like that Denver. Yeah. Good
you ever
place.
You ever been to Cheeseman Park? Kind of just east of downtown. Big old nice park.
Don't know. I wonder if that's the park where a mutual friend of ours was having sex with a lady and a homeless person stole their clothes.
I don't know that story.
Yeah, you know that story?
That's stole her clothes?
They're both their clothes.
He's, oh, man.
He's putting it in her butt, and then the homeless guy came by and took her clothes.
Oh, well. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah. They weren't snoozing.
Long story short, this dude, Larimer, what's his first name?
It was Larimer Square, I know.
Yeah, General William Larimer. He's the one that founded Denver.
Wasn't John Denver? What are you trying to tell me here?
Back in the 1850s, General Larimer, he's like, hey, Denver, we're going to make this place a town. It's going to be cool. And he had this big 320 acres set aside. So that's a lot of football fields. That he was like, all right, we're going to start a town. We need a cemetery. You know, it's not not something you really think about when you start a town. We got to put these bodies somewhere. You know, we're still 100 and some odd years away from somebody just from a crematory.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we can fuck that job up.
He starts this. He builds a big ass cemetery, and it was supposed to be nice. Cemeteries were just very bare bones. It wasn't even very ceremonial. It was just like, this is the place where we keep the bodies.
Yeah.
But he was one of the first to construct and design an actual cemetery that people could go visit. You know, yeah. You wanted nice landscaping, trees, paths to where, like, all right, this obviously this is where people are buried, but it's also we want to make it a comforting environment for you know, people's loved ones to come and hang out and put flowers down, all that shit. So he starts his cemetery in hopes that some of the more influential people in Denver will, when their time comes, want to be placed and buried there.
Yeah.
That is not the case. It turns out that it just starts getting filled up with, like, vagrants ne'er-do-wells, poor people.
Dead ones?
Dead ones, yeah, dead ones.
That's weird when you like think that somebody's going to start a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, you just have a lot of land.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, who's dead?
Yeah. So what they want to do then...
what if there's a new cemetery right now?
I mean, that's a good question, you know, like to start like a brand new cemetery. I mean, how do you get into that? Like,
and then you got to
like
pay.
Real estate moguls. Yeah, like, yeah, we're going to put a cemetery.
You gotta pay rent forever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. So anyway, fast forward, late 1800s. Cemetery was seldom used, fallen even to worse condition. Real estate developers soon began to lobby for a park rather than an unused cemetery. And before long, Colorado Senator Teller, some guy Teller, he persuaded the U.S. Congress to allow the old graveyard to be converted to a park. So in 1890, Congress authorized the city to vacate the cemetery and turn it into a nice park. Families were given 90 days notice to come and remove the remains of their departed to some other location. That's weird.
That's gotta
suck. We're gonna make this another thing. So like, yeah,
that's,
I mean,
poltergeist. There's a whole basis of poltergeist.
You just, and so as one could assume, many of these bodies were not claimed. So 90 days came and went, and they still just got a shit ton of bodies just buried in this cemetery. So those who couldn't afford to, you know, to move their loved ones, they just left them there. So Mayor Bates, he sold this 40-acre area to an archdiocese named Mount Calvary Cemetery. So they kind of like – what they did was they sectioned it off. So that instead of just getting rid of the whole thing and turn it into a park, they made one part like a Catholic cemetery, another part like a Chinese cemetery. And so anyway, but they were going to try to move forward and turn the cemetery into a park. So in
like a food court.
enter E.P. McGovern. Okay, so when the majority of the bodies remain unclaimed, the city of Denver, they awarded this contract to this undertaker, E.P. McGovern, and they said, all right, McGovern, we want you to get in there, and we're going to pay you $1.90 for every body that you move out of here. So it's like, that's a fair deal.
They couldn't even round it up.
$1.90 for everybody you dig up and put in a casket or a coffin and you know, set aside. We'll figure out where we're going to put all these, but we want you to dig these bodies up, put them in put them in their own coffin or casket, and we'll pay you $1.90 a head. No pun intended. So this started 1893. And McGovern's like, all right, I'll get him there. I'll dig up all these damn bodies. And for the first few days, it was going well. And but McGovern was known to be somewhat unscrupulous. And he soon found a way to make an even larger profit off this contract. So this is what he did. Rather than utilizing like the full-size coffins, he used child-size coffins, like 3.5 feet long. And he would hack up the bodies. He would take one body and hack it up and put it into two or three different coffins. So he'd take one body. Instead of making $1.90 off of one body, he'd hack it up into two or three parts and double or triple his profit. So this dude...
That's a good BOGO deal. Buy one, get one.
This dude is...
That's an old joke that I had. I was like, you know, you could use a child's coffin for your pet or vice versa. Just an FYI. It's all my morose stuff. I'll keep going. One of my favorite ones was like, what's the etiquette on burying a kid with braces? Do you have to keep paying for the braces?
Like mouth braces or like leg braces?
Mouth braces. Yeah. If your kid with braces dialing, like, because you want him to have a good smile for Jesus.
That's a good question.
You know, it's like, that's when you like try to write a joke that's going to make people mad.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's having and doubling.
He's hacking up these bodies, and reporters figured it out.
A fucking Gelson salad bar scam.
Yeah. $35 salad.
Yeah.
And
talking about that the other day.
He used, in many cases, he used up to three caskets for just one body. And in his haste, body parts and bones were often literally strewn about and in a disorganized mess. And souvenir hunters began to loot the open graves and coffins. The Denver Republican, a newspaper, they got a hold of the story. And the headline proclaimed March 19th, 1893, "The Work of Ghouls" was the headline. The article described in detail McGovern's practice of hacking up what were sometimes intact remains of the dead and stuffing them into undersized boxes. God. And he's reading an excerpt from the newspaper article back in 1893. "The line of desecrated graves at the southern boundary of the cemetery sickened and horrified everybody by the appearance they presented. Around their edges were piled broken coffins, tattered shrouds and fragments of clothing that had been torn from their dead bodies. All were trampled into the ground by the footsteps of the grave diggers, rejected like junk." So,
that's a resort to grave digging for like for just dig. Let's just rob. Let's just dig up dead people and take their watches.
Oh man, yeah, that is. You think dumpster diving's bad?
That's like, but it's also such a long way to go.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for very little payoff.
At night, dig it up, then wrestle it off a dead body.
Mm.
Too much.
Yeah, that's
a job.
That's a bit much.
Get a job, you louse.
So they got wind of what was going on here. They terminated his contract, needless to say.
Sure.
And point being, now there apparently are just dozens and dozens of ghosts wandering Cheeseman Park. There's an excerpt from a story that appeared in a magazine back in 2005. This dude Lee Cook wrote an article. He's talking about how he lived right across the street from Cheeseman Park. Mm-hmm. This is back in 2005. One night, him and his friend, this guy named Ruben, they decided to take a walk through the park. They were walking through the South Lawn, the pavilion, and they saw these two dudes. One guy was riding a bike, and he had a bicycle chain hanging out of his pocket. So he heard the rattling of this chain, and he turned to his friend. He said, "Ruben, you hear that?" And they looked around, and they didn't hear anything. Ruben didn't. And then he heard it again. And so then they see these two dudes walking up on him. Let's see. Yeah, one guy had a bike. One guy was dressed in a hospital gown, and he was smoking a cigarette. And the guy with the hospital gown, he was slack-jawed. It looked like his jaw was broken. Like, you could tell that something was wrong with this dude's jaw. Moments later, they were surprised when the kid riding the bicycle and the chain dangling from his pocket, he was turning circles on this bicycle, circling around this thin, pale man. So one guy – there's two dudes walking through the park. They see one guy on a bike – circling small circles around this other guy, who was a thin, pale man dressed in what looked like a shredded hospital gown covered with blood. He said they were very frightened as they grew closer. He said, "I could see the pale man's jaw was broken." He then approached us and asked us for a cigarette. I handed him a cigarette.
How did he ask for a cigarette with a broken jaw?
Good question. But he gave him a cigarette, and then the broken jaw guy said, "Did you see them?" And then the author goes, did I see who? And he goes, "The ones who did this to me. They stabbed me 15 times. He lifted up the sleeves to show what looked like very deep stab wounds in his arm, back, and chest. Horrified, the guy's like, "Shouldn't you be in a hospital?" The slack-jawed dude, who's shaking his head, he answered, "They let me go because I didn't have any money." He then warned us to watch out for, quote, "them," and stated several times, "I'm going to get them." He said, "When I reassured them that them," he said, "when I reassured him that if we saw them, we would let him know," the pair casually moved away and into the darkness. So, yeah, this just slack-jawed dude in a bloody hospital gown with his buddy who's riding circles on a bicycle.
Was it an old-timey bicycle?
They didn't say. They did not say.
I mean,
that's a great.
I mean, is the bicycle a ghost?
What if it was one of those, like, the big front wheel?
That's what I mean. Like, or did he just get a new bike? Like, how's the bike around? That's my problem with ghosts with possessions. Like, the bike's a ghost, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Had a spirit.
I mean, that's a great question. Like, could a ghost commandeer an actual physical item like a real bicycle? I mean,
there's always the stories about the ghost cars, the ghost trains, ghost horse and carriage, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the one whole ghost? Yeah, it was like supposed to be a ghost horse and carriage thing that comes through.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. You know, the more I find out, the more we question it, the more I'm like, I don't know about ghost bikes.
But yeah, so apparently there's a lot of activity going on over in Cheeseman Park in Denver because old McGovern was supposed to
chump about it.
and the point that I left out, once they terminated his contract, I think they just left a bunch of the bodies, just whatever. We're going to pave over it. We'll plant some grass and
throw a little dirt on it,
and now we got a nice little park. So. Cheeseman Park in Denver, Tri-State Crematory in Noble, Georgia. Bunch of weird dead corpses. I guess the theme of today's episode is corpses.
Can you imagine just having to come back as a ghost because somebody was just shitty at their job?
Ooh.
Like, if you were just a hard-working person, you'd come back, somebody was like, nah, I don't feel like doing it. You're like, you dick.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to this. This is retirement. Did you hear what else? There's some good listener stuff, but a few people sent us. I don't know if you saw this.
Mm.
Happened a few days ago. A flight from Midway Airport to Oklahoma.
It's the one that had the basketball team on it. Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, hit a large object.
Why hasn't that been on the news more? You would think it'd at least be on SportsCenter.
Oh, who's that? Who's here?
What? Oh, shit.
Guys! Oh, Jesus! Guys, Chicago Mothman here!
Mothman!
Oh, God! Oh, God, I'm so sore! Oh, God!
What's up?
Did you see the news?
No, what?
I got hit by a fucking plane!
Oh, that was God. You!
It was me!
Oh my God!
I was down by Midway. I was flying line to Orange Line Airbit, and oh Jesus Christ! I was hanging out down by Buddy Guy's Legends. You know, they moved it, but it's still there, and they still got they got some okay blues acts. I was kind of trying to fuck around outside. I didn't want to creep anybody out. I just wanted to hear some sweet licks, you know. And oh God, I was fucking down there. And I stopped by. I went to Gene and Jude's first over there by the river, and then I went south. I know Gene and Jude's is closer to O'Hare, but then I went south, and oh, the fucking plane came out of nowhere. I was just flapping around, jamming some tunes out of Buddy Guy's Legends, and the plane hit me, guys. Can you? Oh, Jesus Christ!
Are you okay? Because I saw a picture of the plane, and that was a big dent.
Oh my God! Look, fortunately, I got his exoskeleton right. I mean, I know I'm a Mothman and bats are mammals, but I also got an exoskeleton because, like, nobody really knows and they're not real sure what I am. I could be a lot of things. What do I do? Do I go to a doctor or more like a veterinarian?
I don't know.
I mean, because I haven't had a predicament like this. Normally, you know, us people from the hybrid human-animal kingdom, we'd kind of just take care of our own, you know? Like, you don't see Sasquatch at any emergency room.
Mothman, Kyle and I have been talking a lot about you lately.
Yeah, how come Kyle's never here every time I come by? He runs out the room.
He's got to take a piss.
Yeah, fucking guy.
I was wondering, like, what do you eat? What do you feed on? Do you feed on little animals? Or being in Chicago, do you take part in some of the great delicacies?
You know, I usually feast on insects and small mammals. And I love going to Pizzeria Uno for their deep dish. I love a good deep dish. Oh, God. Oh, Dave, you ever have deep dish?
I have. It's a little more like pizza casserole.
Oh, it's so much cheese. You pull your hand away. I take my little, claw hand at the end of my wing. I pull what looks like the Golden Gate Bridge just stringing across made out of mozzarella.
Oh, man.
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
That's how they say it down here in Little Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, down off Taylor Street down there. A little mozzarella. I say mozzarella. I like to say it like that because that's how my grandmama said it. That's how grandmama my man.
Oh, man.
You got any more questions for me before I get out of here? I really got to see a guy about this thing. I don't know if in Los Angeles, maybe you got those doctors from Botched. I can go in there. You know, this is a... You know what? It's a predicament for me being a mop man, but mostly I'm kind of like a bat, you know, but I got a huge dick, so whenever I sleep upside down, it's hard.
That's quite a predicament.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I feel bad for the bats with big dicks.
So you just hanging out all summer and fall in Chicago? People keep seeing you everywhere.
This plane thing might be the end of it. I don't know. It's getting dangerous. They got a lot of air traffic. I mean, I don't know if O'Hare's still the... That's why I hang out by Midway. O'Hare's the busy airport. Uh-huh. I hang out in Midway, but the flight patterns there are getting unpredictable. You got these basketball teams going back and forth trying to take out the kid.
Uh-huh, yeah. And it was a basketball team that hit you. It was the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I know.
Russell Westbrook, Paul George.
Well, I mean, best of luck to them in the season and everything, but goddamn, tell your guy to watch out where he's going up there.
Oh, jeez.
Mop Man just trying to hang out, listen to some blues, eat some deep dish.
You listen to the blues?
I was dead Buddy Guy's Legends.
Oh, wow.
That's why I was there, listening to blues music, listening to some sweet licks.
Sweet
Home Chicago, maybe not for long. I keep getting hit by these goddamn airplanes.
So how do you know about blues music being a paranormal cryptid?
Chicago Mop Man.
Yeah, okay, that's in your blood, I guess.
Chicago Man, you hang on the south side, you hear the blues.
Any other music that you're into right now? Any bands we should know about?
Sometimes, you know, Lollapalooza played there. I like some of the acts they had coming on there. I think, I forget who played that Lollapalooza.
Did you go to Riot Fest?
Oh, Riot Fest. Oh, big fan of the Jawbreakers. So glad to see them back together after almost 20 years. I mean, I don't seem like I'd be a real punk rock kind of emo dude, but someday my man's got feelings too. My man gets a little bummed out. Mop Man wants you to save your generation. I'll tell you that much. Mop Man wants to know if you still hate him. Mop Man liked to mosh around a boxcar.
So,
you might have seen me there. I had my wings tucked under a Hot Water Music shirt, and I was wearing a hat from a record store. From Reckless Records. Reckless Records hat on and a Hot Water Music shirt.
Okay.
And a pair of Vans.
Well, before you leave, Mothman, tomorrow, or actually tonight, is Halloween. And,
finally. So, I could just kind of hang out, walk the streets with some candy.
So, like, this might be a good night for you to kind of blend in.
Yeah, I'm just going to walk around. I'm going to go hit Licking Park, where I'm going to hit the rich neighborhoods. You know, where they get, maybe I might go up to Evanston, where they get out the good candy. They got a guy giving out whole payday bars up there.
Wow.
You know, that's the thing. I like the nuts and the nougat, the chocolate. I break out. So I'm going to go up there, kind of walk around, make sure the kids are safe. Watch out! They're putting their don't put the razor blades in the aspirin or whatever the other. There was a big Chicago reference.
That's true.
When they poisoned the aspirin in the 80s, because I've been around for a while.
Yeah,
I got a few years on here.
So you do enjoy the terrestrial candy. You're not just eating pigeons and owls and stuff.
Who doesn't like a sweet treat on Halloween or Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, come on. Don't you like a nice candy on Halloween as part of the spirit? I don't like them shitty black and orange candies that only dads eat. I don't get them the fuck out of there. I don't want that shit. Get that Tootsie Roll, throw it back in your face.
So what are you really hoping
Smarties
to cash in on tonight?
Suck my dick if it's Smarties.
What are you hoping to cash in on tonight as far as...
Give me a full-size Reese's cup.
Okay, yeah.
I know I said that thing about the chocolate earlier, but you meet it with peanut butter. And that's a jawbreaker reunion for your taste buds.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Is that
or
You got
peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got your Blake Schwarzenbach in my Adam Fowler.
That's what I was about to say.
That's another jawbreaker, deep cut.
Yeah.
On top of this already strange reference.
Well, right on.
Anyway, I should probably get back over there because, you know, it's Halloween night and I got to look out for the kids and make sure everything's safe. And just tell the pilots to just watch out. Look out for the Mop Man up there. I'm just trying to hang out a good time.
That's a close call there, buddy.
All right.
Sorry about the Cubs.
Bah, you know what? That's why he's hanging on the side. I lost my love for that. I saw that one going down. You had a good year last year and a good year this year. You go bitch about it. You made it all the way to the end, but not the very end.
I understand.
Anyway, Dave, who you rooting for, the Dodgers or the Astros?
I like them both, but I got to be my adopted city now is L.A., so I got to go with the Dodgers.
Dodgers and Astros, neither one an animal this year.
Yeah, exactly.
No animals in the World Series.
Very observant,
Mothman. That's a baseball fact. They always got the facts. When's the last time there was never an animal in the World Series?
That's a good trivia question.
That's, I come by here for those. Okay, guys, I gotta go and get the sweet treats.
You're more well versed than I anticipated.
Sometimes I just get so excited and good to talk to people. So when I get to come by here with you guys, I get to really dump out. You know.
Well, we're glad you stopped by.
I hope I wasn't too verbose.
Not at all.
Okay, see you guys later.
All right, there he goes. Oh, Kyle, you just missed it. There he goes.
What?
Oh,
who's here?
It was the Mothman.
I can't, God.
Jesus, you always miss him.
I'm so upset.
Ah, dude,
I'm fascinated.
He was wound up today.
Oh, was he?
I think he's excited about Halloween.
He's probably got a lot of sugar in him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think he's already dipping into the Smarties and the paydays.
Oh, man. So. Okay, I get it. Who doesn't get excited on Halloween when you finally been wearing your costume all year and finally you get to wear it, right?
Oh, man. The old Chicago Mothman. Always nice to see him. Oh, my God. All right.
You want to bring this one in for a minute?
I guess we will. I'll save my Dairy Queen rant for next week. Got real hard opinions about their new ad campaign, but we'll get into that.
Their campaigns always sucked. It was always just the most slappable people telling you to get their $5 lunch.
I will. Let me give a plug to a show I saw the other day. You know who I think is one of the funniest people on the face of the earth?
Who's that?
That because she's not necessarily a stand-up, rarely gets her due. Amy Sedaris. You like Amy Sedaris?
I do, and I like whatever that happened in that family to create David Sedaris and Amy Sedaris.
And she is just a national treasure. I've got a new show on True TV called At Home with Amy Sedaris, and it's just her like bacon cookies, and it's a satire on like being a housewife or a homemaker.
I saw ads for it.
A lot of arts and crafts, but just God, she's just so naturally funny.
Yeah.
So I just apropos of nothing, wanted to share that with people.
Watch
At Home with Amy Sedaris. A couple of quick thank yous. Listener David Jordan sent you two bags of Sour Patch, are those Sour Patch gummy bears?
Yeah, Sour Patch Kids.
And in the same care pack, he sent me his NES system, the little mini Nintendo with all the games built in. Just sent it to. I was talking about it a couple weeks ago.
Do you have to plug it into a thing?
Yeah,
so he sent the guy who lives in a van something you need a TV for, and he sent the guy who has a TV some food.
That's ironic. I do not own my own television. So I took it over to the lady's house, to the girlfriend's house, and hooked it up. And,
that's a damn sweet gesture.
Very nice.
Is it all just the original Nintendo games?
It looks like there's about 30-something. There's Excite Bike. There's Super Mario. There's Metroid. There's Legend of Zelda.
Maybe it shows up over here.
All that shit. Yeah, I'll bring it over. Here. Yeah, you got an actual TV, too. Yeah. That's pretty cool. The only thing is, I guess I got the controller. The cord on the controller is very short.
Okay.
So you have to get right up on the TV. So I gotta invest in
meant for them smaller televisions.
Yeah, I guess so.
Trying to make it real old school.
So yeah, big thanks to David Jordan for that, and then Seth Breedlove sent us a DVD that I forgot to write down, but it's some paranormal DVD. Just getting some nice little care packages.
Yeah.
So
and we also got a cheesecake on the way from Ash. Ash's last name on Facebook.
I don't have it right off.
We'll
get into that next week.
That's coming this week along with. Some other stuff that we'll mention next week.
Very exciting. And anybody who ordered Boogie Monster T-shirts should be – they should have them all. You should have those by now. So, yeah, we sold a few Boogie Monster T-shirts last week.
Nice, I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm kind of handling I'm the shipping department of the Boogie Monster Corporation.
You're the corporation.
So, yeah.
You're the primary shareholder.
Boogie Monster Corporate. Unless you ordered some smalls, and those will be there in about a week. We ran out of smalls. I just misjudged our. I got a lot of 2Xs and 3Xs, and I was like, we're not going to need that many smalls, but those went quick, so we'll mail those out
a few more of those
next week. So, yeah, man, we'll do a comic of the week real quick. A mutual friend of ours, a very funny dude, Jay Larson.
Yeah.
You know old Jay Larson?
I love me some Jay Larson.
He's a funny dude.
Jay Larson's one of the first guys I saw. Not one of the first, but like early in LA, and I didn't know him, and it was just, I was immediately charmed by him.
Mm-hmm. He's a Boston guy.
Boston.
Got a little bit of that Boston accent. I can't do it.
He's a rascal.
Yeah, he is a rascal.
He's a rascal. He's part of the Crab Feast with Ryan Sickler. I was on that podcast a little while ago.
I don't think he's still doing it, but he was one half of Best Bars in America, him and Sean Patton.
Yeah, I don't think that was out there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they did maybe two seasons of that, I guess. But talk about a dream job. Him and Sean just went around and drank.
Well, they weren't letting them be the comics. They hired comics to be funny, and then they were just trying to get them to be hosts of a show. You could tell they were stifled in that show.
Two of the funniest people on the planet. Just let them be funny.
Yeah, let them do their thing.
They got it.
It's on the network that's no longer anymore.
Yeah. Jay's got a brand new album out called Me Being Me. And I sampled a little bit of it today, as a matter of fact.
It's a special on his website.
It's an album. It's showing up on iTunes. It may also be a special.
I thought it was like a special.
But I know it's an album in audio form on iTunes. But it might be an actual video component to that as well. But yeah, Jay Larson, Me Being Me. Check it out. Very funny dude. And I played tennis with Jay one time.
Yeah.
He, I, and Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
And boy, he's a competitive dude.
He is.
Yeah, get the juices flowing.
Yeah.
He's got a hot temper.
I feel like he's a fun guy to beat.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he loses in a really upset way, and it's fun to
watch. It was fun to be around. Like, he's intense. But, like, all in good nature, all in good fun.
That's what I mean. He's not a dick.
Just
when people lose fun.
Yeah.
Like, in a fun, like, they know, like, all right. Like if you have a temper but you use it to be a good time, all right, go
on. In
a harmless way.
Fun dude. So look up Jay Larson, Larsen, as predicted. That's how you spell that. I always feel obligated to spell these names.
It can go either way. It could be an O in there.
Yeah. So yeah, man, happy Halloween, buddy.
And to yourself.
You got any good plans tonight? You're going to get into it?
I'm going to do the All Fantasy Everything podcast, which I agreed to. Now I'm realizing that I have to drive not only on Halloween to downtown, but through Dodger World Series
train. Oh, shit.
I think I'm going to take the train.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
That old red line down there.
That's cool.
But I mean, with Sean Jordan, David Bory, Ian Carmel.
Oh, yeah.
All those cool dudes.
Yeah, funny
all
dudes.
All good pals of ours.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Portland crew.
Yeah, Portland mischief crew.
That's cool.
And then I'll just be out creeping, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah.
Go miss the West Hollywood. Well, no, West Hollywood is tomorrow. The big West Hollywood Halloween. Have you ever been to it?
I have not.
It's a shit show to try and deal with and get down there and navigate, but it is a spectacle to behold. I think if you live in Los Angeles, I've only been once and I feel like you should go.
Wow.
It's like behold the spectacle.
Okay.
Like the way it's L.A., so when it comes Christmas time, people know how to decorate. People
are
set decorators, they're special effects people. These are the people that are making Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Going for it.
Okay.
So.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And just that crew, that crew over in West Hollywood, they're just fun people.
Yeah. Dave means the gay part.
The gays.
It's the gay part of town.
Yeah, big fan of the gays. I'm not being condescending. They're fun.
No, well, and it's already a festive neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you're throwing Halloween on top of it.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
You know
Halloween
what?
On top of it, and not shitty fall. Well, fall weather for LA, but not like, is it going to be rainy? Is it going to be cold? No, it's LA. It's going to be fine. So, whatever costume you're going to wear, you're going to probably see some dicks.
Yeah.
And some boobs. Mm-hmm. And then some also very creative costumes on top of it.
Yeah. So, good times.
Yeah.
Well, all right, buddy. Anything to plug? Any dates?
If anybody wants to come out to my Netflix taping on Monday, the 6th.
Right on.
Come on out. I put a link on the Stoshi Meads.
Okay. Got any guest list passes on that one?
I reckon I can get a couple.
Pull some strings. I'll come watch it.
I'll pull a few strings for you there.
I'll come watch you crush a half hour.
We'll see. It's going to be a good show. I think I'm going to Gina Yashere, Joe List. I think that's my night. And the night before, it's Aparna.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite, Aparna. Rachel Feinstein.
Oh, she's funny.
I saw her in Ireland. She was great.
Yeah, and she's real funny.
Brent Morin.
Yeah.
I don't know him too well. So.
He was on that show.
He's a television program.
He was with Ron Funches, Undateable.
Oh,
that was
Undateable.
One of those guys. Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches, okay. Rick Glassman.
Yeah. Well, they're all there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week. Whoa. Oh, wait, you didn't hit stop?
You wanted me to stop it right there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier to just sit back and watch you react to your own sound.
Okay, stop it this time.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Kyle.
All right, do one more.
The Boogie Monster.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
There's a man walks the streets of London late at night.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
With a little black bag that's oh so tight.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
He's got a big black cloak hanging down his back. The one big cat I just hate to fight.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
Well, he walked down the street, ever getting me, says your name, Ripper.